I may ask you a question, what comes to your mind when you hear the word Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus? What comes to your mind? Talk to me. Come on. Definitely shorter than Pastor Vincent, I think so. Any other things that comes to your mind when you hear the word Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus? Hello? He was a tax collector. Any others? Short man. Thank God we do not know his height. Right? Any other things about this man? He wanted to see Jesus. Yes, that's wonderful, right? He wanted to see Jesus. He heard about this great man called Jesus, and he wanted to see Jesus. Now, many a times when we look at this particular passage, you know, we are reminded about this Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. He was not liked by his fellow friends, the Jews, because he was a tax collector, not only a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. He was building his wealth, right, by taxing, too much of taxes from his local people. He was just working for the Roman Empire, and so the Jews despised him. And those days, they believed, you know, Zacchaeus, people like Zacchaeus, will never enter into the kingdom of God. The more we look at this particular story, I begin to see not only Zacchaeus here, but I see in this particular story that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I think that is the primary motive of this gospel writer, Luke. Luke wanted us to see the motive, the main reason why Jesus came. And he says in this particular verse, right? He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I think that was the primary purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save the lost. Yes, it's a story about Zacchaeus, but it is not exactly, he is not the main character in this particular passage. The main character is the Son of Man, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ is to rescue, right? To seek, to save the lost. And not only that, you know, we look at the word very carefully. You know, it says, Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Because in those days, tax collectors were seen like outcasts. We don't consider you, even though you're a Jew, you're a person among us. You don't deserve to be part of God's kingdom. You're a sinner. But Luke emphasizes by saying today, you will see this particular word in the Lucan language. It's always the word immediately, immediately, immediately. And so he says, you know, that is the motive of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, he brings salvation. And not only that, you know, he's also called the son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was never called the son of Abraham because he was a tax collector. They hated the tax collectors in those days, my friend. Spurgeon also says, you know, they believed that anyone coming from Jericho, where a lot of tax collectors were living, will never be saved. But the main motive of this particular passage is not about Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. It's about Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save the lost. I think all of us know this verse, right, by heart. Many of us have memorized. You know, the more I look in this particular passage, I see three stages or three levels of God's love in this particular story. Three stages or three levels of God's love. The first thing when I begin to see, you know, sometimes before I see this, sometimes we tend to ask ourselves, does God love everyone? Is our God loving in such a way that he loves everyone? Does God love only the Christians? You know, some Christians do believe that God loves only the Christians. Does God love non-Christians too? And the last question, can we also experience God's love? You know, sometimes we struggle with these questions. This particular passage deals about the levels of God's love for his people. Firstly, you know, I see God's love for the lost world in this particular passage. God's love for the entire world that has been lost. Remember when Zacchaeus was, you know, when Jesus was going to the house of Zacchaeus, the people muttered within themselves, right? And they said, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. How can this Messiah, or how can this teacher can go into this man's house? We don't step into that house. He don't deserve to have visitors come in, because he's a sinner. He's an outcast. He cannot be considered part of the kingdom of God. I think that was how the people felt during the time of Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus built his life, right, or built his life around his wealth. He was collecting a lot of taxes. You know, sometimes we tend to say, I believe, you know, sometimes when you look at certain people, we tend to say, I'm sorry to use words like this, you know, they don't deserve to be part of God's kingdom. And we sometimes look at people and say, I don't think so. God will save such people. They are useless. They don't deserve to be part of the community of faith. They are outcasts. Or maybe they cannot be part of the kingdom of God. Today, who are lost? You know, the first thing I said, you know, Jesus, the God's love is for the lost world. When you say, who are lost today? When you look at the word lost, you know, the word is a very strong word in the Greek text. When we say lost, we say, you know, I lost my phone, right? I lost something. I lost my car key. That's the way we use the word lost. But in the Greek word, it's a very strong word. In other words, it is something that is destroyed to kill. You know, it can't be found. To make it simple, it's something like, you know, someone drops you into the middle of the ocean, and there is no ship to save you. There is no lifeboat, as there's no one around you. So what's going to happen? There is nothing around you. And that's the word, you know, Luke is using, that we are lost. Jesus came, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. In other words, those who don't have any redemption, my friend, they cannot be saved. And that is the condition that we are living in. And you're using a present tense here. In other words, that the condition of you and I, we are lost. Now, who are the lost today? You know, when I look at Luke's writing, the more I see, Luke talks about people who are physically lost. In other words, those who are dependent. They need the help of others. They need someone to come in and help them. For example, the paralytic man who needed someone to help him to bring to Jesus. He's dependent. He's not capable to walk around or even earn his living. The widow's son was dead. You know, this is my only son. I need help. And those are physically lost. So Luke is saying that Jesus came. You know, many times we say we are lost in sin and Jesus came to save us. The Lord, as we sang today, is also a healer, my friend. He heals even today. Physically lost, unable to do things on our own. Jesus came for such people. Not only them, those who are socially lost. The leper, right? No one comes near the leper. They live out of the towns. They can't go to the temple to worship God. Because leprosy was seen as a curse by God, my friend. And even the tax collectors were considered like lepers. People don't want to associate with them. They are not socially accepted. know, sometimes we also feel, you know, am I accepted? But God says, I know, I came for you. We are lost. Thirdly, those who are morally lost, lost to sin. Right? They're under the control of sin. Or maybe they're slave to greed, to corruption, my friend. There is a spiritual pride in them. They are lost. For example, in Luke talks about it, in Luke chapter 7, he talks about Simon, right? Very proud guy. When Jesus came into the house, Jesus said, you know, Simon, I came to your house, but you did not give me water to wash my feet. There was pride in him because that he had a lot of wealth, my friend, and he was morally lost because there was greed in his life. Whereas the woman who came, right, she washed the feet of Jesus with the tears. Morally lost. And lastly, when I look at, you know, many of the things that's happening in the world today, I see that, you know, there's a lot of supernatural activity that's going on. For example, you know, Luke talks about it, the person who had the influence of the evil one. In Luke chapter 8, you know, many a times when we see people, right, we see that they are addicted to drugs or violence and all that. You know, sometimes we say, you know, I do not know they have been addicted to this, all these things. Sometimes when we look at the homeless people and all that, I'm not saying everything is supernatural. It can be social problems or social evils, my friend. It could be because of addiction. It could be because of the way they have been living a life. At the same time, I will not deny saying that some of them are under the influence of the evil one, my friend. Today, in a very scientific world, we don't want to mix that. We don't see. I'm not saying that all homeless people are, you know, are possessed. No. Because of the social struggles they are having, probably because of addiction, or things that's happening in their mental stage, it can also be to some because they have been under the influence of the evil one. And so Luke is saying that Jesus came for the lost, those who are physically lost, unable, and he is there to help us. Those who are socially lost, they feel that they are an outcast. They are not considered part of the society. Jesus even came for such people. He came for the morally lost. Simon the Pharisee, there was pride, there was greed in his life, there was sin that was occupying him. And Jesus came for such people. And not only those, Jesus also came those who were under the influence of the evil one, my friend, and he delivers. That's the kind of loss he's talking about. Not that I lost my key. That you can't be redeemed except by the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I know the government spends a lot of money, particularly, you know, people who are having a lot of addictions and all that, my friend. But only the blood and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ changes. I think that's what is happening here. Zacchaeus is not considered to be part of a human being because he's a tax collector. He depends on our life. Is an evil man. But Jesus came for the lost. He came for Zacchaeus. He came for us. He came for those who are ill, who are sick, who needs healing. Socially, they are not part of a community. Jesus also came for such people. I think many of you would like this picture to see Zacchaeus on a tree. You know, when I look at it, it's interesting, you know, many times when you read the passage, we see Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Yes, we are not denying that. Yes, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Probably he heard, right? Because one of Jesus' disciples was a tax collector. Wow, one of my friends has become a Christian, a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was just trying to imagine, you know, this particular situation. Jesus is walking. Can you imagine Jesus is walking? When Jesus is there, crowds of people are around, people will be shouting, you know, and say, Jesus, you know, and a lot of noise is there. But as Jesus is walking, what's happening? You know, many times we think in our Sunday school, we teach our kids saying that, you know, as Jesus walking, he saw Zacchaeus. That is how we imagine, right? He's walking and he saw Zacchaeus as if Zacchaeus was just close by. It's not. When you read the Mishnah document, it's interesting documents. You know, in those days of Jesus' time, the sycamore tree grows outside the town. In other words, it's not on the pathway. It's outside the pathway, almost 50 feet away. In other words, Jesus saw Zacchaeus far away, my friend. It was not that Jesus saw Zacchaeus here in the midst of the crowd. Sycamore tree is always almost 50 feet away. People don't want because of the nature of the tree. In the midst of a noisy crowd shouting the name of Jesus or Messiah or Son of David, whatever it is, Jesus saw Zacchaeus 50 feet away. And it says that Jesus came to him. Love, God's love, meets us where we are, my friend. Probably Zacchaeus was on the tree. I was just asking myself, if I had an opportunity to talk to Zacchaeus, I will ask him, Zacchaeus, why were you there? He would say, you know, I was unable to see Jesus, so I went up to the tree to see Jesus. You know, when I look at it, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel, probably Zacchaeus might also say, you know, I wanted to be away. I just wanted to see him, that's all. I don't want to have anything to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I want to have a safe view. In other words, you know, I just want to see Jesus. Arm's length, right? I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I wanted to see him. Probably that was his reason. But it's interesting to see that Jesus, in the midst of the noisy crowd, people calling upon his name, 50 feet away, he sees Zacchaeus. You know, it says that Jesus walks to him. Can you imagine? That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only in the passage that we are reading today, my friend, but throughout the Lucan Gospel, you begin to see that Jesus is always reaching out to someone, to Bartimaeus, who's blind. He reaches out to people. Not only to the oppressed people, but also to the oppressors in those days, my friend. Jesus is always seeking and saving the lost. One thing I learned from this particular passage, I think, you know, it teaches us about, even as a church, to seek and to save. Today we live in a church and time, it's come and worship with us, right? Come and join our fellowship. Visitors are welcome. You'll see signboards, you know, outside saying visitors are welcome to the church. Those are good ones. But I think when you look at the approach, the strategy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he always goes to the people. He went to Zacchaeus because Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was looking out for him. And not only that, he's not just coming to Zacchaeus, but I also realize, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. That's the language you'd always see in the Lucan text. Immediately, right now, I must stay at your house today. In other words, Jesus says, you know, Zacchaeus, I want to come. Come now. I don't just want to have a hug and say, nice to see you, but I want to come to your house today. Probably I want to stay in your house. I want to have time with you. I want to have a conversation or even have a meal together with you. I believe Zacchaeus would have thought for a moment, you know, looked around, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy. But finally, you know, he'd say, no, what a wonderful privilege to have you come into my life. I think that's the thing. The love of God not only reaches us, my friend, right? But the love of God is such a way that God wants to stay with us. He's not there calling, giving a hug, and just leaving. He wants to stay with us. I think that's the second thing which we begin to see. Today you and I have needs. all of us, we come to church not only to worship God, but I believe there are some kind of needs that we have. Right? But God meets where we are. Sometimes we want to have an arm's length and say, you know, I just want to be on the safe view. I just want to have a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, Jesus knows where we are. And he wants to meet us. And he gives us a call. Can I come? I want to stay in your house. But whether we want to welcome him. Sometimes we might feel embarrassed like Zacchaeus. Probably he would looked around, you know, and see people are just with an angry face. But whether we are willing to say, Lord, come and stay with me. And he welcomed him gladly. Thirdly, let me finish by saying this. When you look at this particular story, I realize, you know, I was asking this particular text, or I was just imagining asking Zacchaeus this story, right? Can you imagine what is Zacchaeus doing? Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here now I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. I'm asking, what is happening to Zacchaeus here? Come on, Jesus comes to the house. Let's have tea, let's have coffee, right? Let's have some cookies, whatnot. But what's happening? You know, I was trying to look at the passage and ask myself, you know, what was the conversation? I don't see anything that's happening here in terms of, probably Jesus spoke, right? We do not know what he spoke. Or maybe probably he did not even speak, he just went to the house. We do not know the kind of conversation that was happening, but we know for sure that he went to the house. What's happening here? Everything is changing. Maybe in our language, in our today's language, you say, it's crazy. Zacchaeus has become crazy. Is, you know, he was living for the wealth. He was living for money. That was his main motive in life, to make more money, money after money. But what is he doing now? He's just giving it away. And he's saying four times. He was just following the Old Testament law by saying, I'll give you four times if I've cheated anyone. I'm not just going to give them some money and just settle. No, I'm just going to follow what the Old Testament says to pay back. What's happening to Zacchaeus? A person was just living for wealth, a person who wanted to be popular, who wanted to have a lot of ownership, he wanted to have name and everything, my friend. Now, all these are nothing to me. What's happening? Has he gone crazy? No. I see this thing. God's love can be experienced. It's not that God's love will change us, my friend, alone. But when God's love, it is, you can experience God's love. The presence of God changed the life of Zacchaeus. Just the presence of God changes life. Right? Today you and I, you know, can experience the love of God. But whether we're experiencing the love of God is important. And many Christians love to say this word, you know, we say, you know, God loves me. It's easy to say. But have you experienced God's love? All of us will boldly say, including myself, yes, Jesus loves me. God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's a song that goes like this. But can we say that, you know, yes, I experienced the love of God. There's one thing to say that God loves me. But if you're really true, you will experience God's love. You know, we do not know what was a conversation, but the presence of God, the love of God. He loved me. He came. I'm a tax collector. I'm not worthy to have visitors in my house. But this man came. And it says, he gladly received. That's the love of God that transforms us, my friend. That transforms us. Paul speaks about it in his passage, right? And Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. So rather remain in my love. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, he says, right, this is a new language translation. It says, right, then Christ will come and make his home in our hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Zacchaeus experienced the love of Christ. I believe he did not just say, Jesus loves me. But he experienced. He could feel, he could sense, and he could see the love of God working in his life, my friend. That he, everything that I had, I was working for, living for, you know, is nothing compared to the love of God. That was Zacchaeus. When I see this particular passage, I realize God's love is so wonderful and so great, my friend. God loves the entire world. The love of God searches us. It's not just Zacchaeus seeking, but I think Jesus came just going after Zacchaeus, because that's a God that we worship. And lastly, you and I can experience God's love, God's transforming love. I want to share this, the real story with you. In our home, in our garage door area, for the past two seasons, we have doves coming, this particular dove, the male and female, they come and make nests. It's just, you know, when you open our garage door, you will see, father, mother comes and makes nest and all that, and lays eggs, and almost every day we see them, the past two seasons. And even my family, every time we go out, we'll say good morning to them, even though they don't reply to us. It's always nice to see. You know, we can almost grab. It is there, right? And when it's raining, you know, my wife and I, you know, because it's around our bedroom, we'll always look at it and say, oh, it's so cold outside. How are they going to survive, right? By the way, they are not our pets, right? Yeah, they have come. Probably they thought, you know, this pastor's family will not disturb us. And I started reading about birds. And I was asking, you know, because I was a bit concerned during rainy season, and also much more concerned during cold weather, what happens to these birds? And so I started Googling and started reading. And I was very fascinated to see how God, in his way, has created these little birds, the doves that actually come to my place for the past two seasons. No, as I was reading, I realized, you know, their feathers are made in such a way that even within the feathers, there are small, tiny feathers. Have you realized during the season of winter, birds are a bit bigger looking, fluffer, right? You might think, wow, it has gone. It has put on weight. It is not. When I was reading it, you know, I realized during the season of winter, they look a bit, you know, like fluffier, bigger in size. Reading further, I realized, you know, it's interesting, there is a gap between the feathers and the body. And it's almost like airtight. So what happens, you know, the body heat, sorry, I'm teaching science here, right? So if you're sitting for an exam, you know, start listening to me. The body heat goes, you know, and warms up this air, which is between the body and the feathers. And that heat doesn't escape. And that becomes like the coat that we wear. It becomes a cushion, a heat cushion. And that's why you see, like, during winter, all of us put on more weight because of the coat that we wear. And they too put on more weight. It seems like that. But it's because of that cushioning. That air becomes warm and hot because of the body heat. And they can keep themselves warm and survive during winter. I'm not taking a class on birds, but I tell myself, if God cares for these doves or sparrows, what about us, my friend? I think he loves us. Jesus is not saying, I love you, that's all, right? But his love comes to where we are in our life. And not only that, you know, his love can be experienced each and every moment. In seasons of joy, in seasons of difficulty, in seasons of struggle too. Let me leave you with this question. God really loves you. Do you truly believe that? God really loves you. Do we truly believe that? Let's pray. I want to bring back the same question again. All of us will say, God loves me. God loves me. Amen. But today, let's ask ourselves, do we truly believe that? And are you experiencing God's love in your life? Because God's love can be experienced in our life. Zacchaeus experienced God's love. His priorities changed. What he was living for was nothing compared to the love of God. Just Jesus coming into my house, his presence itself changes me. Today, my friend, I think maybe some of us may say, you know, I'm sitting far away, I want to be on the same view like Zacchaeus. But God's eyes are also upon us, my friend. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to experience your love each day and to know that we can experience your love. Help us to believe that Jesus loves me. In Jesus' name we pray.